Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Another Wednesday night is right upon us, Audrey, which means Tech Vibe Radio getting ready to take off right now.
It is. We're taking off right now because we got a guest right in the house.
So
no small talk, no ranting, nothing. We've got Michael Couch in the house, and he's a noted author.
He is.
Wow.
But he doesn't have his sidekick with him.
No. Yeah, sorry.
Richard Citrin. You guys are like peanut butter and jelly. You hang out together.
Wow.
We are.
Sometimes on a slice of wheat bread, right? I know, exactly.
He'd be here too, but he's recovering from surgery.
I know.
What kind of excuse is that? But that's okay. I think you can cover the material.
That's what I told Michael. I said, you're coming in anyhow.
They made me do it.
Here you are. You've been around doing lots of work in organizational development, leadership development, strategy development. I could go on and on. And then you and Richard get the idea that you're going to just write a book.
It sort of was a long time in coming.
Yeah. Was it?
You know, all the stuff we spoke about or things that we blogged on, it was just getting a reaction, but it was actually a good exercise to go through and say, all right, now organize your thinking and put it in a book.
And you've been seeing the horror stories of just basically, the leadership, just falling apart, for lack of a better term, and the fact that the workplace has changed so much.
Oh, yeah.
And that things haven't always changed with it. And I know, obviously, you've been a longtime author in our Pittsburgh TEQ magazine with our Effective Leadership column. And so I feel like I'm always up to date on some of the things that are going on. And to kind of see this all come together in your new book here, Strategy-Driven Leadership, I think it's pretty rad.
Yeah. Well, we're tickled by it, too. The reaction has been fantastic. We sold out the first printing. They probably printed like 12 of them or something.
Nothing wrong with that. I'll take 12 books.
That's okay. So give us
all those residuals and royalties are coming in right now?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to retire soon.
That's what I thought. Yeah, exactly.
What's the name of the book?
Yeah, Strategy-Driven Leadership. And then the subtitle is The Playbook for Developing Your Next Generation of Leaders.
Okay. And you can buy it on Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon.
Okay, good.
What's
the thesis?
Well, what we've seen over the last 10 years or so is what we're doing on strategy, on developing leaders, isn't working. I think that the numbers, corporations spend $15, $16 billion on leadership development, and 90% of it ain't working. So that's what we've been working on studying, and we probably ran some pilots with some companies and worked out very well in terms of significantly changing the way that we develop leaders.
So what are some of the big nuggets that you could share?
Yeah, one of the things we say is leadership development should be built into work and not bolted on as something you do, because leaders develop their skills through experience. So the idea of curating experiences and learning from those experiences is probably the key part of it.
So like when I give Jonathan feedback right in the moment.
Right in the moment, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's always correcting me in the moment, yes.
I'm encouraging and developing.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
I'm encouraged and developed, yes.
Yeah, you can feel it. So that's probably the key one. Another one is, development is not event-based, so going to a one-time workshop and everybody goes, just isn't.
That was an article that you guys wrote a few months ago in the magazine. I remember reading the thing, exactly, because I remember way back in the day, 15 years ago, they would send you to something to learn something, and it was a one-day event, and you went to the Holiday Inn in Oakland, hoped you could get out early and get home.
Yeah, and have like a half day.
And say, yes, I learned much about management and leadership and whether you're supposed to be learning. It was all like, what? Yeah. And so those things they're not working anymore, obviously.
No.
And they never have.
They never did
in the first place. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
We actually, the rough number in the evaluations we've done is about 85% of the time when somebody goes through an event like that, nothing transfers. They don't use the skill or the content unless it's, you know, by chance more than anything else. So that's, you know, that's a key part of it. You build it in, don't bolt it on. Don't do one-time event kinds of things and expect to have an impact. And the other thing is that whatever you're doing ought to drive strategy. So that's really the hallmark with the book, is that that your development should help you implement and execute strategy. So it's got to be linked to that.
So do we have – are there any generational kinds of differences?
No,
cuts across. No,
I love that.
I like hearing that.
I love that.
It's like, make it something special for millennials or something special for boomers or something. It's like, no, we're all people, right?
Yeah.
And we're all kind of incentivized. We learn the same way.
But the world is changing at the same rate for all of us.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, and but the skills that it takes to be a leader, no matter where you are, the research now is it's the same. No matter the organization, no matter where you are in the world, that's the focus, not what's different, but what's important. And it's just the skills at the time depend on the strategy of the business. But thinking that you need to do something significant or different based on generation is
just not the case.
It's silly.
It's a false assumption for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like it. What about if you're just starting to build your own company?
Yeah,
you should be thinking about this from day one, because it's part of everything that you do. So as you do scale, a lot of people, I mean, a company starts from somewhere, right? And the idea that if you keep this front and center, as you become 10 people, 20 people, 100 people, it's been with you for a while, and it becomes important and part of what you do.
Yeah, and I like that, because we're seeing a lot more tech leaders and a lot more younger companies recognizing just that fact and realizing that, particularly if they have an end game in mind, that part of it is they have to have a good team and a good team with them. So we've been doing a lot of work with even some of the earlier startup companies on being able to, be able to build a bench, build a team as much as they build the company.
Yeah. It's also the practice of a lot of the startups that they're not surrounded with any kind of guardrails.
No.
Right.
And so, particularly in the world that Jonathan and I are in, we see like a lack of guardrails. So sometimes there are people who get it, want to embed this whole thing about leadership early on. But sometimes it's just like, I just want to get my product out there.
Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what the journey is. Yeah. And
there's just one goal, and that's getting the
product
out.
It's just one goal.
And
as a result, there's not an opportunity to sort of learn.
Yeah, and talking with private equity and talking with people who want to invest, they often invest as much in the people as they do in the company and
the
product.
Yeah, it's usually the people. Absolutely.
So we've been doing a lot of work to how can you polish up your people,
to be able to
do that as well. But a startup is one of the best leadership development experiences you can go through.
But put you in the trenches there, right?
Yeah, but if you don't learn while you're doing it,
right.
So that's the other emphasis that we make is intentional learning. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go through an experience, be mindful about it and recognize what you want to get out of it and, track what you're doing there.
So what about your practice? What is your practice?
A lot around leadership development right now, particularly driven by succession planning as one piece.
Makes sense.
Because demographics are changing. Folks are retiring. We need to back up. People don't have the pipeline. But also, we're doing a lot of work on just strategy. And as strategy changes, the talent demands change. So we're a lot of work on strategy. What's that mean in terms of leadership and then doing the development to be able to help implement strategy?
And then people don't stay in jobs as much as they used to. Is that true?
No. Yeah, we're not seeing – the only thing that's different now is that the market is different. So there's plenty of opportunities out there. Yeah, so there's some movement based on that. But internal churn is probably even higher, which is good for a development standpoint. So people moving around internally, getting a good experience, that's what a career is anymore, moving around, not moving.
Absolutely.
Up.
Great stuff.
And is there a website if people want to know more about
you? Yeah, strategydrivenleadership.com.
Just
awesome.
That's
out there about the
that's
book.
Great.
And then also that links you to my business site, too, which is www.mcassociatesinc.com.
Awesome. Great stuff. Thanks so much for stopping by. We've got a great show in front of us. Audrey, we have BNY Mellon hanging out with the Year Up program stopping by. Excited about that. Pitt's SBDC Center having a cool UPMC supplier diversity event. And Idyllic wrapping up the show with us. Good stuff.
Great show.
Keep on listening, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after this quick break. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. Welcome back. You are listening to Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
Audrey, it's a good night. It's a Wednesday night. best time to be hanging out, listening to our show, if I'm not mistaken.
I totally agree. Yeah. Hump day.
Yeah, we got a cool guest hanging out with us here today. It's fun to do what we do, Audrey, because we get to talk to people like things you're not always thinking about. Things are pretty important that, you know, we can put a little spotlight on, which makes me pretty excited.
It's like this complex jigsaw puzzle.
Exactly.
And we get a chance to see all these different pieces and how it sort of lays up to the future.
Most definitely. Most
so
definitely.
So now we have...
Michael Houlihan.
How are you?
Never better. Thanks, Audrey.
That's great. And you are the assistant director of the University of Pittsburgh in their SBDC.
Yes, I am.
Which stands for?
The Small Business Development Center.
That's a long title condo card.
What is that? What is that?
So in the state of Pennsylvania, as in every state throughout the U.S., each state has a series of nonprofit organizations that are focused on economic development. So in the state of Pennsylvania, we have 16. We are one of those 16 in PA, and we cover southwestern Pennsylvania. We cover about a six-county region. And our primary bread and butter of what we really compress of, I would say, is education to the business community. We do a lot of training programs, and we also do capital formation. So we're not Shark Tank. We're not the ones that actually dole out the cash. But when
you point them in the right directions, right?
With any business owner, you know, when they come to us, they need a pathway. They need some guidance. They need some support. They just can't walk right into a bank and say, I'm ready for my, you know, my loan, please. So we get that approval ready. Last year, we saw over 600 clients. We did about $15 million in new capital formation. And all of our services are private, confidential, one-on-one, and never at any cost.
That's so what I'm talking about.
Even though you're inside the University of Pittsburgh, it's really for the community.
Absolutely. Our six-county region.
That's a great resource to have. People really need to know about this. I mean, because something people aren't necessarily thinking about, knowing that it's right here in Oakland.
Right.
At your use.
They do not have to come to Oakland. We will come to them as well.
What?
Because we work with,
really?
It doesn't matter what life cycle they're in as mm-hmm. part of the business.
So you make house calls?
Absolutely.
That's what I mean. Come on, man. What is this?
So you make house calls. And so give us a scenario so if our listeners would be thinking about.
Okay. So I love making house calls, if you want to deem it as that.
Do you like a little black bag you take with you?
Of course. the reason why is because, I'm a former business owner myself. So if I meet with a client and they come and see us and they tell me about, you know, what their concerns are, what they're trying to overcome, it's great. But when I actually go and see the business and I can smell it and I can taste it. And
right.
Yeah, well, wait a second. We didn't talk about any of these little issues that I'm starting to notice.
Interesting.
So, I was gonna say the words and the music need to go together.
Nice.
I like that.
So what kinds of things? So what would one expect? Or even why might someone reach out to you?
They would reach out to us because they want to meet with somebody that has some good business experience that will be very open and honest with them and really, again, point them in that right direction. Because I like to say that we're a repository. If they need some type of assistance, it doesn't matter where they are, again, in that life cycle of a business, they can come to us or we will come to them, meet with them confidentially, again, at no cost. And if they need assistance with just, again, training or development of a loan, things like that, that's great. But if they need some resources, they say, I need a web designer, I need an attorney, we'll give them some vetted, you know, referrals in this region.
Solid folks that are going to help them out.
Exactly, that we've, you know, we've vetted, that are affordable, that want to work with small businesses.
And so one of the things you also do is you put on events, which we want to talk about.
Yes.
This is really exciting, happening on March 26th.
Thank you.
Is a really cool event because UPMC is one of, obviously, the biggest businesses, for lack of a better term.
Number
here.
One employer in the state of Pennsylvania.
Right. And they buy lots of stuff.
They're like the federal government.
Exactly.
They buy everything.
They're like the federal government. And so you have an event to help people plug in to their supply chains.
Correct.
Tell us about this.
Last year, and we had about 120 different businesses that actually went through this training.
Okay.
They were so excited about some of our results. They actually contracted with us to do it in four different cities again this year. So we're going to do it again, kind of an encore program in Pittsburgh. It's open to any business owner, but they really have essentially a portal. They have an online portal, and they're trying to get well-qualified businesses
exactly.
to become suppliers, and it could be of goods or services.
And there's probably all types of things that they buy,
yeah, give
obviously.
Us some examples.
Yeah.
So let's pretend I'm in the UPMC network. Let's say I'm in office like a Hammett up in Erie, PA. And let's say I'm looking for someone to do some lighting. Okay, something along those lines. Or pens, doesn't matter.
Pens,
everything, sure.
Yeah.
They just like you would do like a Google search within the UPMC network, you know, type in what you're looking for. And if you go through our particular training and get, you know, everything, we give them a checklist on what they need to comply with, get through that, then they get on the approval list through the supplier diversity program, and it's a matchmaking program. Then that, you know, that person at that particular office within the UPNC network can reach out to those individuals and say, "I saw you're on the approval list.
Right.
We had this bid."
So there could be four or five pen providers,
sure.
And you could pick the one that you know is approved, but whichever is closest to you or meets your needs or can do what you need them to do.
Trying to keep the jobs here locally, trying to keep the contracts here locally as well.
And you mentioned diversity, which I think is interesting.
Yes.
So really, so tell us more about how basically there's different types of businesses that can plug into this.
Absolutely. I mean, it's for minority-owned, women-owned, veteran-owned, LGBTQ, anything disabled-owned, anything
gotcha.
Along those lines. This is a great venue and opportunity for them to get into the UPMC network.
What about things like IT services and things like that? Are those part of it too? Interesting.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You name it. Last year, I think we had over 60 different industries.
60 different industries?
Industries,
oh
that
God.
Went through the training
right.
itself that said, hey, I know that there's opportunities for contracts in this UPMC network.
Very cool.
I want to be a part of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, to pre-register for this event and
yes.
all that type of good stuff, is it free to attend?
It's only $25.
Okay.
But you're going to get a nice packet, a nice binder. It's about 3 inches thick.
Yeah.
And you're going to get materials that you will be able to customize for your own industry and take it back and say, wow, I can put this to work immediately.
Very
cool. If people want to know more about this, where would they go?
Very simply, they can just either call our office, which is just 412-648-1542. So they can call if they want to talk to somebody. Or they can go on our website, which is entrepreneur.pitt.edu/events.
Just that simple.
Just that simple.
I think this is really cool that UPMC is doing this as a way
yes.
to really engage the community, make sure that local businesses are being taken care of, and also putting an emphasis on minority-owned businesses and so forth.
Exactly.
So everyone's got a chance to...
It's a win-win.
Yeah, all the way around. It's a cool thing. I understand why they asked you to come back and do four of these things. It seems like obviously it's working well for them.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Cool.
It's really important to build the regional business community.
Correct.
And for them to have access. And it's terrific. So hopefully you'll continue to do this work and we'll get more people who will get access, because very often these big companies, they don't allow the opportunities for these small companies to have access because they just don't even know where to begin.
Well, what is business? I mean, business is simply just having, you know, the opportunity and now having the access. And I think with this program, we're providing both.
That's awesome. Is there anything else you want to share about your program?
Yeah. We've got about 30 seconds left.
It's beyond just going through this training. Once they're done, if they want that type of counseling, or they say, you know what, I need this contract, but now I need to go get a line of credit.
You can help them with that.
That's where the counseling continues to provide.
And you make a house call, too.
If needed, absolutely.
I love that. I think that's so cool.
I do, too.
I'm going to start a business just to do a house call and come over and hang out with me and see what my needs
that's
are.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome.
All the way around. Great, great stuff. Really, check that out. Nick. Can't thank you enough for hanging out with us,
Likewise.
Michael. Simple as that.
We're
taking a break. Man, we got a whole lot of tech vibe in front of us, though. I'm pretty excited.
We sure do.
Great stories coming your way.
Don't go away.
Don't go away. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We are both from the Pittsburgh Technology Council, bringing you this show every single Wednesday night. It's what we love doing. Simple as that. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. So glad you're spending Wednesday night listening to Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
And Audrey, we've had BNY Mellon stop by the show a few times this year because they're always working on cool stuff, neat projects that are just, I think, pretty transformative to the community, to tech, to business, and everything around and in between.
Yeah, they're great. They're great citizens of this region.
Absolutely.
So we're really thrilled to hear what they're up to. So who do we have in the house real quickly?
So Jonathan, Audrey, this is Dave Sylvester.
From BNY?
From BNY Mellon, that's right.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kate Gerwig, and I am from Europe.
Yeah. So Europe is such a cool organization. When I kind of put this segment together, I was so excited for us to put a little spotlight on this, because as I was reading up on what Europe is up to, I thought this is something that I could definitely see BNY Mellon totally getting behind, and I can't wait to tell this story. But the idea of what you guys do and taking folks that don't have quite the skills and giving them the skills to participate in our tech economy, I think is pretty cool stuff.
All right. So why don't you tell us what's happening here in Pittsburgh?
Sure. Glad to. So if you've never heard about Europe is roughly a 20-year-old workforce development national nonprofit. And we're really focused on closing the opportunity divide. And so what that means is really we believe that there's a whole host of young, talented people. We target the ages of 18 to 26 who really have been limited not by their skill or their drive, but their access to opportunity.
Exactly.
And so our whole mission is to bridge that divide and bring in companies like BNY Mellon and connect them to the young talent that's in the market. And so how do we do that? We run an year-long program that's really focused on developing both those hard technical skills that we know jobs and employers like BNY Mellon need, coupled with those soft skills that make somebody successful in the work environment long term. And so really we have a holistic approach that includes technical training, soft skill training, internships, stipends, and an access to training and education.
Getting a well-rounded individual.
Right. Getting a well-rounded individual. So often what we hear is technical skills are what bring you in the door to job, but the soft skills are what keep you there.
Keep you and getting fired.
Exactly. So how do you talk to someone? What does your company want you to wear a tie? Is pinging part of the culture? How do you shake somebody's hand? So really giving you that soft, well-rounded approach accompanied with coaching and mentorship, and then eventually a 6-month internship at BNY Mellon.
That's and so where do these about, right? students come from? Where do these young people come from? And there's an age range, right?
Yes. So we're really serving those folks that maybe didn't hit those opportunities right out of high school. So if you think about the traditional path into a middle skill career job, it usually comes with some level of college training, typically in America. And so really we're looking for those folks that maybe started college, didn't stick, or didn't think college was their opportunity, financial barriers, education barriers, just awareness barriers. And so we're really looking for those people who haven't been served in other modes or other areas. And so really, it's truly a grassroots recruitment effort. If you think about who we're working to serve, we're working to serve those who may have not been have had access before.
Exactly. Right. And you're coming to Pittsburgh because of BNY Mellon.
Yeah. Coming to Pittsburgh because of
BNY Mellon.
So, Dave, here's talk about why this is important.
Sure.
And the amount of involvement that you've had.
Yeah, absolutely. So Europe is really exciting to us for a couple of different reasons, right? So one is that as an organization, BNY Mellon has really spent a lot of time and takes a lot of pride in giving back to the community, right? So you can look at things that are related to what we're talking about here, like our involvement in the Pittsburgh Promise. We're longtime supporters of that. We hire a lot of the graduates. Also, we're a participant in the Tech Council STEM Summit, right? So that's coming back to our offices in May.
Right around the corner.
And that was great. I was there last year myself.
It was a lot of fun.
And that was just incredible.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to those students coming back to visit us again this year. So giving back is a big part of it. Our employees do it. Our foundation does it. The company and its philanthropic efforts do that all the time. But the other thing that this really helps us with is identifying the talent that we know we need as we go forward. And that's, the Allegheny Conference. I'm sure your listeners know about the study that the Allegheny Conference did and how there's really a gap. We're really short of workers. And so we try to look at non-traditional channels of education.
And you think of all the untapped talent that's here.
Absolutely.
And that to plug this into those opportunities, to me, I think is incredible, which is why I was so glad you guys are here to talk about this and how we can get people engaged and signed up.
That's right. So us working together, I think, for BNY Mellon to bring Europe into the market and to introduce them to people like your listeners and to community organizations and really start to get them connected with the folks that really could benefit from what Europe does and then ultimately result in great employees for us. I think it's a win-win.
And so in terms of some of the other offices of BNY, what have been some of their successes? Can you talk about that?
Sure, yeah. I can start and Kate jump in.
Sure.
But, this will be new to Pittsburgh, but BNY Mellon has actually worked with Europe for 14 years, I think?
Yeah, 14 years.
That's a commitment right there.
That is.
Something's working.
In some of these other offices,
yeah.
Right.
That's
right.
Absolutely right. Yeah, so in our New York office, in Boston, in D.C., and in Wilmington, we've actually
brought in about 245 or so.
Yeah, I think
interns.
With this latest class, we're going to be closing in on 300 interns served. I think just this past January, we sent 32 more young adults on internship at BNY Mellon across those, our four cities where we're partnered with them. So New York, Boston, Wilmington, Delaware, and Washington, D.C. Yep. and the surrounding areas.
So this being the first year, you're going to need a lot of help, right?
You got to prime the pump here, right?
Absolutely.
We are. So why don't we – let's we'll get to what Kate needs and what Europe needs, but, you know, just in terms of a few more specifics about how we're trying to help. So, you know, obviously, we're introducing Kate and the whole great Europe team to the community. We're also providing space for Kate and the team, both classroom space, meeting space within our facility. Our foundation's providing some grant money. Most importantly, perhaps, we're committing to hire a lot of these students when they, you know, finish the program and they're ready for their internship. And so even though this relationship is, you know, is a BNY Mellon Europe relationship to start, this is really us together planting some seeds for the community that we really hope will grow
Definitely.
Into a very vibrant
That's just
pipeline.
So cool that you guys are you're putting seeds in for this, knowing that in maybe 3 years, this is going to spread out to other companies that
Absolutely.
Can grow this and get even more people in.
And it's really a lost sort of quasi-generation in terms of what's happening.
Exactly.
Where there are a lot of missed opportunities in there. And
sure.
many people don't know how to fill that.
Yeah, we believe talent in America is spread evenly. It's just opportunity. It's not. And when you
Exactly.
think about there's 5 million young adults right now who don't have access to
Wow.
career track jobs.
Five million. That's just that's
And there
staggering.
Are 12 million jobs that are out there that are entry-level middle school jobs that we feel like people are just not trained for right now. And so really trying to bridge that gap for folks.
That's exciting. So it'll be interesting to see how well other companies will sort of join in
as we
watch what happens at BNY Mellon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know your listeners are probably most interested in the technology aspect of it, but this is really a curriculum that covers a few different functional areas.
Yeah. Right? What are some of those areas?
So here in the Pittsburgh office, so one thing about Europe is all of our internships and jobs have to be market relevant for that city. So you wouldn't put somebody in a job that there aren't, or in an internship that there aren't jobs at the end of the day for them to transition into. And so here in Pittsburgh, we know there's a growing tech industry. We know that BNY Mellon specifically has a large technical operations and a large investment operations department here in Pittsburgh. So we're going to be training in three different tracks. Those tracks are investment operations, cybersecurity, and software development.
Wow.
Very cool.
And really, no prior experience needed. When we think about the young adults that we want to identify for this opportunity, beyond the 18 to 26-year-old range, the minimum requirement is a GED or high school diploma.
Okay. That's fabulous.
So we're really looking for young people with grit who might not truly know what they're interested in, but want some experience and some exposure.
Yeah.
And we spend that first 5 months with them really training them to kind of make up for that gap if they didn't have that entry-level experience.
What kind of a commitment do they need as far as when they participate in this? This seems like this is going to be like a 24/7 kind of a deal, I think, right?
Sure. I will say that it's definitely a big commitment for the young adult who comes through our doors. So we really want to role model what it's like to work in a corporate environment. And so young adults come in at 8:30 in the morning, and they're with us till 3:30 in the afternoon during the training phase with a half day on Wednesday. And that's really to allow for some transition. If you need to work outside the program to make some extra money, you can.
Okay.
But then once they transition to the internship, which 85% of those who start will transition to the internship, they will work basically a 35-hour work week and come back to us on that Wednesday afternoon when those who are training are out of the office. And so we have a social worker on staff, we have coaches. So if there's some tightening up or some things that need to happen skill wise or extracurricular or personal things,
there's someone there to cross the T's.
It's not just on the BNY manager who just received this intern, you know,
like, hey,
so there's
okay.
a little bit of wraparound support. Yeah.
They have support around them as far as, and that's obviously all the better for the young adult going through that, because I mean, everyone has to have some drama in their lives. And so being able to, you know, address that as things come
fabulous.
Up.
That's fabulous.
Were you 22 and had it all together? I certainly
was. I totally had it together at 22, but I imagine
it was all figured out. Yes.
Yes. That's such a big gap.
Absolutely.
Like, potential is really phenomenal. In terms of the other cities, how many of the interns are hired?
Great question. So just on an outcomes piece, 75% of those who start the program finish the program.
That's a high number.
Yeah. That's higher than college.
Yeah. Significantly higher than most of our community college systems, which if you think are the people who are typically serving this population. However, of those 75% who graduate, 90% of them will have a job or enrolled in school within 4 months of the program. And our outcomes right now are roughly, if you graduate from our program, somewhere between $40,000 or $20 an hour.
Okay.
That's awesome. That's what I'm talking about.
Thank you, Dave, for having this leadership at BNY. I know that you've had a passion around this, but I know that you need the support of the entire company to make this happen.
Great team that has incubated this a little bit in New York, and then the leadership team in Pittsburgh has taken it on. So we're really excited about it.
And if people are interested in applying for this, where can they go and learn more?
Great question. Yearup.org. Our Pittsburgh page is just put up there, so we are now fully got Pittsburgh represented on the Yearup website.
You're committed.
If any young people or champions of young people are interested, all they have to do is go on to our website and submit an interest form, and somebody will be in contact with them within the week. Yearup.org.
Great. Hey, we're taking a break.
Thank you. We're coming back.
More Tech Vibe Radio. Awesome story. So glad you guys could tell it here on Tech Vibe. This is Jonathan Kirstein.
And this is Audrey Russo.
From the Pittsburgh Tech Council. Learn more about us, pghtech.org. So, Audrey, I'm going to cut to the chase on this one. Just get right to it.
Thank goodness.
Because there's no messing around on a Wednesday night when you got one of Pittsburgh's coolest tech companies hanging out with you, Idelic. Very excited to have these guys talking to us tonight.
Yeah. Who do we have in the house?
Hayden Cardiff.
Hey. I love your name.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I love that name.
I do as well.
Where'd that name come from?
Well, and I thought of you when I was in Cardiff.
Oh,
like
nice.
A few months ago.
Yeah, yeah. So my brother and I always joked, you know, we're 42nd in the line of, you know, something ridiculous, right? And so we always joked around. If we ever went there, we'd storm the castle.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's.
But Cardiff is an interesting place.
That's one place that obviously I need to go.
You have to go.
I know. I spent some time in Italy and you know, as a missionary, I was there for 2 years, and so. Definitely need to get back and explore a little bit more.
Yeah, it was great. We took a bunch of companies to there. I'll tell you about it
fantastic.
After the show.
Yeah.
Definitely. We're glad that you're here because we think your company is doing some really cool
stuff.
It's got a great story. It's the type of thing that's really making Pittsburgh be Pittsburgh, right?
Thank you. Yeah, no, very, very happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So could you give our listeners just quickly your background? I mean, who is Hayden Cardiff and how did you end up with a company called Idelic?
Yeah, great question. So I actually came to Pittsburgh to go to Carnegie Mellon. So went to
typical story,
right? So, you know, wonderful things draw you into Pittsburgh and then you just stay. Went there for my MBA. Really wanted to do entrepreneurship. So I came here with the idea to start a music technology company.
Really?
Yeah. So really cool idea and wanted to find some fantastic people to help build that. And so Carnegie Mellon was the place. Lo and behold, you know, good old Dave Mowinney and the crew at the Swartz Center hooked me up with some fantastic people doing something similar.
See?
So we got together. We started singing Kumbaya and really started to get going. And you know, but you know, the interesting thing about music tech is you're dealing with musicians and.
They're flaky sometimes. They're,
well, flaky. I don't know if flaky is the right word, but
it's hard
to build a lot of revenue. Let's just put it that way. I'll just leave it there.
They're flaky sometimes.
So, although we dove in, we went through Alpha Lab, we got a lot of experience, raised a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Made every single mistake a first-time entrepreneur can make.
Definitely.
Right. And so it was a fantastic proving ground, very, really good learning.
Yeah.
And so went from there while I was still at Carnegie Mellon, got hooked up with a buddy of mine actually through the football team. And Lynn looked at, helping trucking, right? So we took electric
vehicle. Yeah, how does that happen?
Okay.
You know, it's a great question.
Okay,
So we took electric vehicle technology and added it to the trailer of an 18-wheeler for fuel savings.
Wait a second. I remember this company.
Yes, Hylion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a genius idea.
Yeah, it was fantastic idea, fantastic technology. You know, for us, it was my first foray into the trucking industry. And
what happened to it? I thought that would have exploded.
Yeah, it's still going. It's still going. Good. Yeah, so they actually moved down to Texas.
Okay.
So they're
that's
still,
no fun.
They're still rolling. So, but it was my first, again, my first, you know, very eye-opening experience into the trucking industry, right? Mm-hmm. Like to the normal person, you drive down the road, you see a truck, it's like, pick stuff up, take it there. I mean, it's nothing hard, right?
No, it's highly logistical.
Oh my goodness. It is so big and so complex, and there's so many issues that need to be solved in that industry. It's really, really...
Because it's old school in many ways.
Super old school, but just fantastic people. Like, I'm from Kentucky, then moved down to Savannah, Georgia. Good old boy. I just felt at home. Great people. But there's just so many issues that need to be solved, but need to be solved through innovative ways, but like actually understanding what the problems to be solved are. And I think that's one of the issues that a lot of people face, a lot of the fleets face, is that there are a lot of solutions in the industry that take cool technology and just try to go find a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work.
Right.
And especially if you don't have that intrinsic trucking knowledge or DNA, it falls pretty flat.
And you have that DNA because Idella came out of Pitt, Ohio.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So I ended up leaving Hylion. And when I did, I throughout that process, I got to know the folks at Pitt, Ohio incredibly well. So I spoke with Chuck Hamill pretty regularly. And then when I decided to leave, I told him, he's like, look, you've got to come work for me. And so I started consulting for them, looking at a bunch of different projects. Okay. So as I was wrapping up grad school, looking at a bunch of different projects for them, everything from carbon calculation in the LTL industry, looking at the impact of Uber for trucking type models and how that might disrupt the LTL.
Yeah.
Just a ton of great stuff. But the thing that really drew my attention was this internal safety product that they created called Safety Box. So back in 2004, Pitt, Ohio had an accident on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. They had all of the data necessary that they should have been able to be proactive and do something about it.
Right.
But they didn't have a system in place to act on that.
Oh.
And so they sat down and said, look, we've got to do something. So they started to build that in-house. Now, Pitt, Ohio is renowned in the industry for safety and technology. I mean, the highest award you can win in the trucking industry is called the American Trucking Association's President's Award. Fleets are only up to win this every 4 years. This last year, Pitt, Ohio has now won it again for their seventh time in a row.
Wow.
That's 28 years.
Yeah. Like, so for the better part of 3 decades, they have been absolutely dominating the landscape of safety, right? So that it's in their DNA. It's a part of who they are. It's what makes them special. And so that was obviously a huge differentiator for them. So when they started to go through and map out their safety programs, their protocols, how they do things and implement some sort of software to that, it started to automate a lot of those workflows and make things a lot more, you know, sort of tie a lot of the data together and make things a lot more impactful. So a lot of fleets started to take notice of this, and they actually offhandedly sold this to several other fleets. And
wait a second, we have something. We're selling this.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Pitt, Ohio quickly realized that, you know, they are, you know, very much a trucking company and not necessarily a software sales
company.
Yeah,
they know where their strengths are. Right?
And one of the projects they had me look at was, what do they do with it? And so diving in and doing a ton of research,
like,
and looking.
Spin it off. Sir.
Exactly. Well, I mean, there was, you know, they could sell it, they could lease it, they could do a lot of different things. But there was just so much opportunity there. And everywhere I looked, from the smallest fleet all the way to the largest fleet, literally UPS, right? Like,
definitely.
You can get into anyone and everyone playing the student card. It's fantastic, right? Like, hey, I'm a student trying to do some research. Can I talk to you about safety, right? Like, if anyone will take a call.
Of course, would you like to know?
Absolutely. It's fantastic. So everyone had the same problems. There's too much data. They don't know what to do with it. It's disparate. It's not connected. They're liable for it, but they can't use it to be proactive.
Right.
And so that's one of the big issues that the Safety Box was trying to solve. But there are things that I saw that we could do with it to make it more impactful and scale to the industry at large, right?
Ooh.
So I said, look, the best thing you can do, guys, is to spin this off, run it as its own separate software company.
And by the way, I'm happy to run that for you.
They looked at me, they're like, great, go do that.
Nice.
How cool is that?
I mean, I had to do some soul searching myself to sit back and say, is this what I want to do, right? Like, I've got...
Because you have to want to do it.
You've got to want to do
it.
Yeah, exactly. Am I ready to dedicate the next 5 to 10 years to do this? And it just... the more and more I looked, the more and more I thought, you know, it there was just so much impact that we can make. I mean, our
I was gonna
product,
say, the safety that's coming out of this, the lives that are being saved.
That's exactly right. Our focus is to help drivers come home safe every night. Not just the drivers that we protect from our fleets, but every passenger on the road that shares the road with them. Like, I've got family. Like, we travel on the road. If I can help a driver to improve their safety.
So that in and of itself was enough for you to say, I'm there.
That in and of itself was a huge motivating factor. And then on top of that, I mean, obviously my goal was to start and run and build and grow a company to make a lasting impact for me, for those that we employ. I mean, that you know, being able to run your own company, like, I've did it a couple times in kind of some test phases,
right.
Loved it, understood that it would be a lot of hard work and all the stress and anxiety. I mean, my poor wife, she's fantastic and she's so supportive. But
keep talking.
But, yeah, she's fantastic. I've put her through some shenanigans. But
yeah.
I knew what was about to happen. At least I thought I did. Yeah. And so I've got to do it.
Such an amazing company.
You've got to do it. And she's been by your side.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, we've had two kids since we started all this entrepreneurial journey. Yeah, I mean, it's been...
Yeah,
it's been
why don't you pile on enough? Yeah, you know, just... Do it all. Just yeah, throw it all in there.
But it's going well. I mean, you've raised quite a bit of money.
Yeah, how many people?
Yeah, we are over 40, which is crazy to think.
That's
the beginning of last year, we had 9.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, we had goodness, 9. Yeah. We were still in Pitt, Ohio's headquarters.
And your next door neighbors to us now.
We are. Place, yes. No, it's super exciting. And we're happy to be here. And so for us, that growth, especially over this last year in 2019, was a fun roller coaster. We had a ton of customer growth, a ton of product development, a ton of process growth. Employee count obviously jumped. We raised a round, so we brought on our Series A, which was fantastic, led by Origin Ventures and co-led by TDF. TDF was a current investor. All of our past investors came on as well. Fantastic group with Bain Capital and Birchmere Ventures here in town, which they were our first, and
believed in you, right? Yeah,
from the beginning, which was fantastic.
All coming out of Pitt, Ohio.
Yeah,
from a guy from Kentucky.
Yeah,
coming
Who's now in Pittsburgh,
hanging out with those fleeky music.
And what
people.
Do you think? what's your prognosis on Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh is a fantastic place. I mean, especially when looking at starting a company, right? You have a fantastic pipeline from Carnegie Mellon from a technical standpoint, right? Carnegie Mellon, Pitt, and the surrounding areas. We've actually got a nice contingent out of Seton Hill as well. So, I mean, it's just a really good pool for talent. Cost of living's great, especially when you compare to East or West Coast. I mean, we could be in New York or Boston or L.A. or the Silicon Valley. And we wouldn't have been able to kind of bootstrap the way that we did to get up and going to be able to make it. And then also, trucking is here in the heartland, right? I mean, like, you start – I mean, I'll throw Pittsburgh into that quasi Midwest.
Yeah, no,
right.
Many of us resent that.
I know.
Resent and resist it.
Are you East Coast Philly? No. So, I mean, like, we also push away the Philly side of things. I mean, like, Pittsburgh has a very special place in the country, and I understand that, but –
ours is better though.
But so we're also closer to customers, right?
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah,
and so that's another big piece.
Well, I think 2020 is just going to be a massive year for you guys.
Absolutely.
And I'm just so excited you could stop by the show tonight to tell us about this. Like, we need to have you come back on because it's like, oh, time just kills us sometimes.
I know.
It's like,
I know.
Oh my goodness. But
happy to.
I'm happy to know you're right across the plaza from us.
Yeah.
Kicking butt, saving lives, making it safer for truckers and for traffic in general and everything going on there. So idyllic.com.
Yeah. You can check us out there. We've got a ton of resources. We got our blog and we put out a lot of content, both for truckers and for non-truckers alike.
Very cool. So
thank you.
Yeah, out of time and the show comes to an end. but we end on a high note. What a great story.
Thank you.
Great story.
Yeah, more Tech Vibe coming at you next Wednesday here on KDK. This is Jonathan Kirschning.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
From the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Have a good rest of your night.